Cessna says that Skycatcher prototype crashed during aggressive spin testing. NASA slips the Atlantis launch by 4 days. And a commentator attacks the U.S. space program as a luxury we can't afford. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Thursday, September 25th, 2008. We've learned some details from Cessna aircraft and BRS parachutes about a Cessna Skycatcher prototype lost last Thursday near Douglas, Kansas. Last Thursday afternoon's crash came during what was described by Cessna as an extensive evaluation of the aircraft's spin matrix, in particular during, quote, full-power, cross-controlled spins, unquote. The prototype was not a fully conforming example and had over 150 flight hours. The accident plane first flew in March of this year. Cessna says the aircraft's BRS chute was actuated, explaining the pops and sparks reported by witnesses, but the chute did not deploy. The plane's structure is said to have survived the impact largely intact, with the wing and empennage still attached to the fuselage. The test pilot bailed out of the aircraft, landed about a quarter mile away from the plane's impact point, and survived with minor injuries. BRS says it sent some of its personnel to the site to investigate. There's still no word on whether the accident will affect the delivery timetable. The Skycatcher is scheduled to be in production next year. NASA conceded yesterday that delays related to Hurricane Ike will push back the next mission of the shuttle Atlantis by 4 days. AFP News reports the agency's first launch opportunity for the repair and upgrade mission to the Hubble Space Telescope is now set for 10:10 p.m. Eastern Time, October 14th. Ike struck the Gulf Coast of Texas September 13th and forced the Johnson Space Center in Houston to close. In an official statement, NASA said, quote, "While vehicle processing at Kennedy continues on schedule, the lost week of training and mission preparation due to the impact of the storm led to the decision to slip the dates," unquote. The shuttle Endeavour will also be delayed 4 days and is now scheduled for launch November 16th. Atlantis won't be cleared for launch until Endeavour is also ready, in case Endeavour is needed on short notice for a rescue mission. That precaution is employed whenever shuttle astronauts are sent to service the Hubble, since the orbiting telescope has no emergency facilities to protect the crew of a visiting shuttle should something go wrong with their vehicle. NASA still hopes to complete 5 shuttle launches this year in order to stay on track to complete all its planned missions before the shuttle fleet is retired in 2010. Hey, if anyone at NASA is hearing me right now, don't let Michael Griffin read Dave Gibson's latest comments in the American Chronicle. It would ruin Michael's day. Gibson's premise is that the race to the moon was part of the Cold War and it's over. Mission accomplished. He says the average American is seeing no real benefit from the space program anymore. He trivializes space technology's benefits in our everyday lives, noting that NASA's research has brought us sports bras, improved golf balls, a faster Speedo for Michael Phelps, and resulted in better ventilation for toll booth operators. Gibson says that after dealing with wars and hurricanes, this week's proposed government bailout of Wall Street is the last straw. Quote, "Amid crushing federal debt due to the Iraq War, a Congress seemingly bent on bankrupting the nation, and now what will prove to be the costliest corporate welfare bill in U.S. history, we now must consider cutting out luxuries such as the space program," unquote. He also makes some valid points, noting that satellites can be launched with cheaper unmanned rockets, and NASA does spend some of its budget on items which range from the frivolous, such as a recently commissioned original theme song for the Gamma Ray Large Area Telescope, to conspicuously inappropriate, such as luxury cruises for contractors. But he also misses an important point. Underneath all the rhetoric about using space only for peaceful purposes, we are, at the very least, facing a need to be there for defense capabilities. Anyone who believes we could abandon space without compromising national security, well, has been reading too many Chinese press releases. The battle over general aviation user fees to fund the FAA is far from over, unless you're Phil Boyer. Congress finally sent a bill to President Bush Tuesday which would provide a temporary extension of the funding status quo through March 31st of next year. Boyer observed, quote, "That means we can declare victory in the battle against user fees, at least in 2008, unquote. Phil retires in December after 18 years heading AOPA, so he won't have to resume that fight next year. For Ed Bolin, however, no such rest is in store. The president of the National Business Aviation Association has urged Congress to use the time provided by the extension to complete work on FAA reauthorization as soon as possible. Quote, "We think it's important for Congress to send to the president, as soon as possible, a completed reauthorization package that provides long-term stability and builds on the work already being done to modernize America's aviation system," unquote. Up next on ANN, those sleepy Go Airlines pilots have their flight privileges back, but not their jobs. NTSB finds a clue as to what brought down a Cessna 210 in San Francisco Bay. And DOT picks Evergreen Airlines to fly a new freight route to China. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways. And you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800 for Cessna.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for September 25th. I'm Paul Plagg. The infamous Go Airlines pilots who fell asleep en route to Hilo, Hawaii, on a short flight from Honolulu on the morning of February 13th, have both completed suspensions ordered by the FAA. They're now cleared for a return to flight duty. Now they just have to find jobs. The Associated Press reports 45-year-old Captain Scott Altman and 23-year-old First Officer Dylan Shepley were grounded for careless and reckless operation of their CRJ-200 after they overflew Hilo at flight level 210 and were headed out to sea. Controllers were unable to establish contact with the plane for 25 minutes. Altman was later diagnosed with a severe form of sleep apnea, which causes people to stop breathing and hinders the ability to rest normally. He got a 60-day suspension, and Shepley got 45 days. Mesa Air Group fired them both back in April. The FAA determined the airline could not be faulted in the case because it provided the pilots with a 15-hour break between shifts. That's nearly double the mandated 8-hour minimum. The National Transportation Safety Board is not ready to publish a probable cause report in the case of a Cessna 210 that ditched in San Francisco Bay earlier this month, but its preliminary report suggests there's little doubt what happened. After the plane was hauled from the water, investigators found a hole in the engine crankcase near the number 2 cylinder. Bruce Moody and Matt Barcelona were flying around the Bay Area on September 10th doing aerial photography near Oakland. About 30 minutes after takeoff from Reed Hillview Airport in San Jose, the noise suddenly quit at about 1,500 feet above the water off Emeryville. The C-210 splashed down 500 yards from shore just north of the Bay Bridge. In an extremely fortunate cascade of circumstances, drivers waiting in line to pay their tolls saw the accident and called 911. It turned out the Coast Guard, Alameda County Sheriff's Department, and the Oakland Police Department had a total of 6 boats conducting a drill close by. The 2 men were rescued as they stood on the submerged plane. NTSB says Moody told the investigator in charge the engine started to lose power, and he then noticed there was no oil pressure indicated. The U.S. Department of Transportation proposed on Tuesday to award Evergreen International Airlines a new all-cargo route between the U.S. and China. Evergreen would be allowed to operate 6 round-trip flights per week to Shanghai from New York, with additional stops in Chicago, Dallas-Fort Worth, and Columbus, Ohio. Under the U.S.-China Aviation Agreement reached in May 2007, the U.S. Department of Transportation is required to approve carriers for direct routes to China. The agreement permits a new all-cargo carrier to begin service March 25, 2009. Kalita Air and Tradewinds Airlines filed applications in competition with Evergreen. Interested parties now have 14 days to object, and DOT answers are due 10 days after that. Then the department will issue a final decision. DOT evaluated the three companies and concluded Evergreen's proposal offered the best service to the shipping public. Kalita was named the backup in case Evergreen is not able to begin service. Federal Express, Northwest Airlines, Polar Air Cargo, and United Parcel Service already have freight service to China. All the restrictions on scheduled U.S. to China air cargo services will be lifted in March of 2011. A Boeing official said yesterday that the financial crisis in the U.S. is spreading and may require Boeing to finance more of its customers' aircraft purchases and absorb some cancellations. Bloomberg reports Boeing CEO Jim McNerney told the Chief Executives Club of Boston the risk to the company's backlog tends to be, quote, in the 5 to 10% range. It could be a little worse, could be better than that. We'll have to monitor the situation to see, unquote. Boeing already may face cancellations in its struggling 787 Dreamliner development program, which has been hit with delays of 18 months, not counting the current strike by the Machinists Union and another threatened strike by engineers for December 1st. McNerney said talks are at a standstill, and the company insists the outsourcing of some production to offshore contractors is an issue of management rights. Both Boeing and Airbus have long order backlogs after a three-year frenzy of new orders driven in part by Middle Eastern countries flush with oil revenues and airlines looking to retire older, less fuel-efficient airplanes. Boeing says about 90% of its $275 billion commercial backlog is from outside the U.S. The company's estimate that 10% of its order book may be at risk is a sharp contrast to predictions by Airbus, which has warned that as much as 27% of its backlog could evaporate in a recession. Still ahead, over 200 subcontractors will have some role in NASA's new Ares 1 rocket. Spectrum Aeronautical will be at NBAA's new spring show. And business leaders get close up with the U.S. Air Force in Europe. You're listening to Aero News.
Okay. Right up front, let me say that Garmin does not give tax advice. We have lawyers who cringe at the very thought of suggesting there might be tax advantages to buying a new Garmin avionics system this year.
Did he say tax advantages?
Could that be construed as tax advice, either express or implied?
Yeah, like I said, lawyers. So I guess I won't be telling you that this year Congress is offering special bonus depreciation up to 50% in year one for qualified business equipment placed in service during 2008. Business equipment like, say, a new Garmin avionics stack. But you didn't hear that from me, right?
What did he just say?
Okay, better check with your tax consultant for guidance and your Garmin dealer for the installation. Garmin. Follow the leader.
See your tax advisor for guidance.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Thursday, September 25th. I'm Paul Platt. The Ares 1 rocket, America's next flagship in space, is now in development by NASA and its industry partners and eventually will carry human explorers and new missions of discovery to the moon and beyond. More than 200 companies in 32 states and Puerto Rico will contribute to the design, under contracts totaling $1.4 million. Steve Cook, manager of Ares projects at NASA's Marshall Space Flight Center in Huntsville, Alabama, says contributors across the nation are providing critical engineering expertise, hardware, and materials fabrication and testing, and a wide spectrum of support services. Quote, their work ensures that NASA will, in the next decade, successfully fly the Ares 1 rocket to orbit to support the International Space Station and send Americans back to the moon, preparing the way for rewarding new journeys of discovery throughout the solar system. NASA's Constellation program fleet is now more than 4 years into development. The project includes the Ares 1, the Ares 5 heavy cargo launch vehicle, and the Orion spacecraft. The Ares 5 will serve as NASA's primary space delivery vehicle for large-scale hardware, including the Altair lunar lander, and supplies needed to establish a sustained human presence on the moon. The Orion will carry a crew of 4 to 6 astronauts. The first Ares 1 test flight, called Ares 1X, is scheduled for 2009. The first crewed launch of the Ares 1 rocket is planned for no later than 2015, and NASA plans to send the first missions back to the moon about 2020. Austin Blue, president of Spectrum Aeronautical LLC, has announced plans to exhibit at the National Business Aviation Association's inaugural Light Business Airplane Exhibition and Conference next year. The new event was announced at Lakeland this past spring. NBAA will use it to focus on the light end of business aviation, with the event's debut to be held in San Diego March 12th through the 14th. The show will include exhibits, educational sessions, and a static display for operators who rely on light business airplanes to help their company succeed. NBAA President Ed Bolin welcomed the news that Spectrum will be there. Quote, "We're also pleased that Austin Blue has agreed to serve on the committee of local industry experts who are helping guide our planning for the show. Austin is a visionary whose experience with light business airplane operations will help ensure that our new event is highly valued by those in attendance," unquote. Spectrum Aeronautical has operations in Spanish Fork, Utah, and in Carlsbad, California. The privately held company is developing the Freedom S-40, an eight-place mid-sized jet scheduled for certification in 2010, and the Independence S-33, a seven-place light jet scheduled for certification during 2011. Finally, civilian business and community leaders got firsthand and sometimes hands-on exposure Tuesday to U.S. Air Force's Europe's multiple missions of supporting warfighters, building partnerships, and strengthening historic NATO ties. Air Force Major General James Hunt told 47 participants in the Joint Civilian Orientation Conference that U.S. Air Force's Europe, or USAF, is as critical to U.S. national defense today as when it was established as the 8th Air Force in 1942. "We're not flying heavy bombers over Europe anymore or running a Berlin airlift," but Hunt said, quote, "For 66 years, U.S. Air Force's Europe has provided responsive forward presence, humanitarian and peacekeeping support, and decisive air power to the United States and its allies," unquote. Today, USAF has 5 bases and 9 forward operating bases, 250 aircraft, and about 25,000 airmen. That's down from 65,000 in 1990, but Hunt called the organization's mission bigger than ever. Conference participants got demonstrations of a high-altitude, low-opening parachute jump and saw combat simulations featuring F-15C Eagles and F-15E Strike Eagles, F-16 Fighting Falcons, and the A-10 Thunderbolt II. They also saw just how fast munitions can be loaded aboard F-15s when time is of the essence. They even got to fly an F-15 simulator. Daryl Flanell, managing director for Merrill Lynch Global Markets in New York, called the experience fabulous. Quote, "I come away from this really impressed with extensive knowledge, the depth of intellect and the enthusiasm I saw. It's pretty amazing," unquote. The Merrill Lynch exec added, quote, "The parachutes were great, but I was hoping for a golden one," unquote. All right. I made that last part up. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, my guests are pilot John Werenberg and animal rescue volunteer Debbie Boyes, who've created a website to help willing pilots offer transportation for use in relocating thousands of pets scheduled to be euthanized to loving adoptive homes. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCast. Find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.